We'll say it out loud, for the Lord is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Say that again. For how long?
Forever.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Lift your hands and thank God for his mercy. Glory to his holy name forever. Glory to his holy name forever. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 18th verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Paul writing, I like to put it this way. The Holy Ghost said through the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now you notice two important things. Oh, there's so much here. It'd take you 6 months to cover it all. But there are two very important things here. Here he's talking about praying for the saints. That means fellow Christians. And then he talks about praying in the Spirit. Well, what is prayer in the Spirit? In the early days of my ministry, for I started pastoring a little country church at a very early age, in my late teens, and I was Baptist. And I got a hold of a verse like this, praying in the Spirit. And I asked some, you know, fellow ministers and Christians and so on, what does that mean, praying in the Spirit? And as you use the thing, I got the answer that it means to pray with a little more spizzerinctum. Now, that's a good Texas colloquial expression. Amen. That just simply means praying with a little more vim, vigor, and vitality. That means just putting a little more oomph into your prayers. But some way or another, that didn't satisfy my heart or my spirit. But I still didn't know what it meant to pray in the Spirit. Because, you see, we Baptists stayed out of the 12th and 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians. Now, we got into the 11th chapter, all right, of 1 Corinthians. Because there, you see, Paul talks about the Lord's Supper and how it was instituted. But we skipped the 12th chapter and we got into the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, a great love chapter. But we skipped the 14th chapter and we got into the 15th chapter, the great resurrection chapter. But one day, praise God, one day, I bravely got into the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Well, right away I found a similar expression. Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians as well as to the Ephesians. And in the second verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we read, where Paul said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now notice that same expression, in the Spirit. Same expression that is used in the 18th verse of the 6th chapter of Ephesians. In the Spirit. In the Spirit he speaketh mysteries, King James translation said. Hallelujah. Well, there are no mysteries with God because he knows everything. And there are no secrets with God. But the mystery is on our part, the one that's doing the talking. Amen. Or the secrets on our part. Amen. Now again, I call your attention to the fact that the word unknown here in connection with tongues all through the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians is italicized. Now that means anytime you find a word in your Bible that's italicized, it is not in the original scriptures. The translators added that word thinking they would help your understanding in that the tongue is unknown to you. Certainly isn't unknown to God because you're talking to him. Now, he that speaketh, King James translation, in an unknown tongue, or literally just he that speaketh in a tongue, speaketh not unto men, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Well, if he's speaking to God, then he's praying, isn't he? Because he's communicating with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And so you could read that verse like this. He that prayeth in a tongue or unknown tongue prayeth not unto men. Well, you know he's not talking to man, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, skip down a little bit further in that verse, or in that chapter, to the 14th verse. And here Paul said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, again the word unknown is italicized, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit prayeth. Now the Amplified reads, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prayeth. It's my spirit doing the praying, but it's the Holy Ghost helping me to pray. He gives the utterance, I do the talking. Now notice the 15th verse, for it goes right along with it. The 15th verse, Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Now he just got through saying that was with tongues, didn't he? And I will pray with the understanding also. Now that can have a twofold application. First of all, I'm just going to pray both ways. I can pray with my understanding. I can also pray with my spirit. But it is also true that I may pray with tongues and then the Spirit may give the interpretation of what I prayed. That way my understanding knows what I prayed. Amen?
Amen.
And that can happen and does happen. It isn't necessary to interpret everything you pray in tongues. But if it is necessary, the Spirit will give you interpretation. Now, if you speak with tongues, you should interpret. Look at the 13th verse of the same chapter. Let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Well, he's sure not going to tell you to pray something you can't have. Pray for something he don't want you to have. That would be stupid. God's not stupid. Amen. Praise God. That's where I first started interpreting, was in my private prayer life. Not interpreting very little, really, what you said in tongues, but sometimes more or less. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
The Lord reminded me of something that he said to me in Las Vegas in our meeting there a couple of years ago. Amen. Well, a number of things were said, but now what he was talking to me about is what I'm going to tell you now. And so he said to me to tell the people. And now in 1987, just prior to camp meeting, I was praying, and, you know, day after day, camp meeting's going to start on Monday, and I'm praying to ascertain in my spirit, to get comfortable in my spirit, just what he wanted me to speak on when my time comes to speak, and I couldn't get settled on anything. I couldn't get clear, in other words, in my spirit. And so, Wednesday night, we say Wednesday night, but actually it was, you know, after midnight, it's Thursday morning. And so really, after midnight at 2 o'clock, I was awakened, and I really went to sleep praying. And I was awakened and began to pray again. And I prayed in tongues from 2 till 5:45, 3 hours and 45 minutes in other tongues. Now, I have a book called, hallelujah, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuit. I prayed that book out in tongues and then the interpretation in English. I prayed that all of that out in that 3 hour and 45 minutes time in other tongues and then interpretation.
Yes.
Interpreting what I'd said in tongues. And you ministers particularly, if you didn't get that book, you need to.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And carefully, prayerfully, reverently,
yes,
pursue it. Amen.
Yes.
And then right on the end, In other words, about 5:30 in the morning, I had a vision. I and Jesus were standing about where the roof of the civic auditorium is, where we have camp meeting. And so, Jesus and I, were standing about where the roof of the building is, looking down on the congregation. And we did then, if you were around us, we were all clapping. And Jesus turned to me and said, clapping is neither praise nor worship.
Yes.
Well, if you'd stop and think on that for a little bit, you know it isn't. Clapping is applause. Amen? If clapping is praising God, then people at the political rally are praising God. Then people in the honky-tonks, where they may go to clapping over some ungodly song or something, or dance, they're praising God. Then people at the ball game, when they clapping, they're praising God. Amen. Now, what he said to me in Las Vegas was, tell my people to stop clapping and go to praising. Now, another thing he said there at Las Vegas, you've gone as far as you can go under the circumstances. He's talking about spiritually. You've gone as far as you can go. Tell my people to stop clapping and go to praising. Amen. And you know as well as I know that it's so. You see, there's no reverence. We should reverence the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many times when there's tongues and interpretation, right in the middle of the interpretation, everybody start clapping. You'd miss half of what was said. Now, if you notice in that experience of praying the last Saturday, the last night of camp meeting, you notice I said some things to him. You know that you said that to me 50 years ago. You notice that, see? Well, what he said to me was this. If you'll do what I tell you to do, there'll be a restoration of what you've seen back there. You hear me refer to some of them sometimes.
Yes.
Then, since we've been here praying right here on the platform, he said to me, not only there'll be a restoration of those things, but then there'll be a multiplicity. Ha ha ha. There'll be multiplied. Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. Spectacular supernatural manifestations of the power of God. But you see, we had a reverence back there then that we don't have today.
Yes.
You might as well say amen to so anyway.
Amen.
Amen. We had a reverence. We reverenced the Holy Ghost. People would be quiet and listen if there's a message in tongues and interpretation or if there's a prophecy. And then if when it's over, if they did anything, they'd praise God. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Then not only that, but right in the middle of your preaching sometimes. You tell some good story or some incident, you know, and people will start clapping. Well, if you're going to do anything, you ought to praise God. You don't applaud God. Are you listening to me? You don't bring him down on a human level. I heard someone say, well, you know, if the President of the United States is here, we'd all stand and give him an ovation. Well, a greater one than the President's here, God's here, Jesus here. Let's stand and give him a hand. The Spirit of God within me always is grieved when that happens. Because, you see, you don't bring God down on the human level. You have respect for him. You ministers particularly are students, or should be at least. And you know in the Old Testament was written by scribes. They didn't have printing presses. When they had come to the name, and God was revealed by a number of names. Jehovah was one of them, and so on and so forth, you know. But when they came to write his name, inscribing these things, you see, They'd stop. They'd go take a bath, clean up. Amen. Before they'd come back and write his name, because they had such a reverence and such respect for his name. Oh, we should honor him. I said we should honor him. Praise God and reverence him. Well, right in the middle of preaching, telling some good illustration or making some good point, everybody start clapping. You shouldn't applaud. It's not a political rally. If you're going to do anything, you ought to praise God. And if you'll go to praising God, I'll tell you, it'll be like saying sick 'em to that preacher. He'll take off like a dog after a rabbit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, if you can't, say oh me, because it's all so anyway. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Then not only that, but in meetings, I have a number more than once just about ready to minister. For instance, that lady right there with that pink blouse, the Lord already told me what's wrong with her and told me to tell her, you're healed. And for some reason or another, somebody started clapping, and everybody started clapping, and it's just like a bird was sitting on your shoulder. The anointing just flew away and left. No, we need to learn that it's all right to clap, you know, as long as they're singing. Someone said, well, the scripture said, clap your hands and shout for joy. Now go back and read that 47th Psalm. And notice that that's the only time in the entire Bible. Now, the word clap, there's a number of times, but not in connection with people. That's the only time. And notice that the psalm is to the chief musician. He's talking about clapping and shouting in connection with singing. But we got clap happy. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The Spirit, you see, just about to manifest himself in supernatural manifestations, and everybody starts clapping and the anointing leaves. I've had that to happen to me any number of times. And the anointing just left, flew away like a bird flying. Because, see, the Holy Ghost got grieved. Well, you can do what you want with it. All I have to do is deliver the message. Amen. We've gone, the Lord said to me, I wrote it down. You've gone as far as you can go under the present circumstances. Talking about spiritually. Tell my people to quit clapping and start praising. Then they will move up to greater glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now he went on to say to me, you're substituting brass for gold. Well, we don't want to do that, do we? No, sir. No, sir. Amen. Now then again, and you know, when the choir sings, like in our home church, for instance, and other churches have choirs, and they finish singing, everybody claps. You know, you ought to really praise God if you want to do anything. Amen. Clapping is just simply honoring those people who sang. We need to honor God in the song which they sung. We ought to praise God. Or like the singers a while ago sing. When they finish singing, we shouldn't clap. We ought to praise God. The world claps, but the saints praise. Praise. Amen. Now, there are two places that it's all right to clap. For instance, while we're singing. Clapping, keep time with the music. That's good. And that's really what he's talking about in the 47th Psalm. Or we may introduce a speaker. It's all right to honor him. And say, well, let's give him a good welcome or her a good welcome. So we clap. And that's all right. Are you listening to me? So we need to learn when to and when not to. If we want a deeper move of the glory, we want to move on up into the glory. Praise God. Don't grieve the Spirit. Amen. Learn to flow with the Holy Ghost. Understand what the Holy Ghost is saying. Understand what he's doing. Praise God. Unless we do this, there's a move of the Spirit that'll be lost to this generation. Amen. I don't believe it'll be so. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every meeting we should move closer to God. The Bible talks about being changed from glory to glory. Every meeting we ought to move up in glory. Can you say amen? Now then, notice. Let's see what the Word of God has to say about praise. Notice Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 15th verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Every once in a while? No, continually. Well, what is this sacrifice of praise that we're to offer to God continually? That is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. That's direct instructions in the New Testament. Now notice 1 Timothy the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse. Paul here is writing to Timothy. Timothy's pastor this time. He said, I like to put it this way, the Holy Ghost said through the Apostle Paul, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Where?
Everywhere.
That includes church, don't it? Everywhere. How? Lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. See, the world does not lift up hands to God. They clap. The world does not praise God. Amen? Lifting up holy hands, and so it's scriptural to lift your hands and pray and praise. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Well, somebody said one definition of prayer is communication with God. And when you're praising him, you're certainly communicating with him, aren't you? Amen. You could read that verse like this, and it would not do an injustice to the verse. I will therefore that men everywhere praise, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now then, go with me to the 16th chapter of Acts and the 25th verse. Paul and Silas, you remember, had been arrested. They had been whipped. Their backs are bleeding because when they were delivered, the jailer washed their backs. And so they're in jail. Their backs are bleeding. Their feet are in stocks. And this 25th verse says, at midnight. Now again, like I say so often, I believe that was literally the midnight hour. But right on the other hand, it's symbolic. That's the midnight hour in your life, that darkest hour, that greatest test, or whatever. Amen? And so this verse tells you what to do at midnight. At midnight, they prayed and began to clap. Huh? Isn't that what they did? No, you don't see any scripture in the entire Bible in connection with praising and in connection with praying where they clap. They prayed and sang praises. They prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. They're singing right out loud and praising God right out loud. Singing praises. And the prisoners heard them. Thank God, God heard him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he shook that old jail.
Hallelujah.
Till every door flew open.
Amen.
The stocks fell off of their feet.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the jailer thought they'd all escaped. And so he was going to fall on his sword and kill himself because he knew they'd kill him. And Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here.
Hallelujah.
He called for a light and sprang in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Amen.
They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But the thought I wanted to get over to you is the deliverance, the victory, the answer came while they were praising God.
Amen.
While they were praising God.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I first received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. 1937 came over in Pentecostal circles. I read this testimony in one of the Pentecostal periodicals. Now, it was a reprint. It had happened many years ago before they had the smallpox vaccination. And so this lady missionary got the smallpox. Well, they isolated her because it's contagious. They don't want it to spread. And so she said in her testimony, which was reprinted, that she began to pray and the Lord gave her a vision. And then this vision she saw, you remember one of those old-fashioned, some of we older folks, some of you younger men, those old-fashioned scales that balance, you know. Amen. And on one side, it said prayer. And it was full to the top and hanging, you know, sat down on the bottom. And the other one here said praise, and there's just a little bit in it, and it's way up here. And then the Lord spoke to us and said, when your praises balance or equal your prayers, you'll be healed. So she realized, I've got to do a lot of praising here. And she said for 2 days and nights, all she did, just praise God, praise God, praise God. 2 days and nights, praise God, praise God, praise God. Until she could hear people passing by, picked it up, started praising God. And after 2 days and nights, she is completely disappeared.
Amen.
Just disappeared.
Amen.
When her praises equaled her prayers. Now, we do a lot of praying, but how much praising do we do?
Amen.
Notice that the scriptures, either time here, gives you equal time to praise. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises. Sang praises unto God. Hallelujah.
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 Praise God forevermore.
Amen.
I remember my own testimony. You know, I give different parts of it sometime because that's pertinent to what I'm talking about. But I know in my own personal testimony of healing, when I saw what the Word of God said, Mark 11:23-24, amen. And I saw this and I said it out loud in the room by myself. I said, I see what I must do. I must believe that I receive healing for the deformed heart while I'm still lying here with my heart beating irregularly. I must believe that I receive healing for the paralysis while I'm still lying here paralyzed. I must believe that I receive healing for the incurable blood disease while I have no evidence whatever of healing. And if I'll believe that, then he said to me, I'd have it. See, a lot of people try to have it first and then they're going to believe they got it. No, you got to believe you got it and then you get it.
Amen.
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 And so I began to say out loud, I believe that I receive healing for the heart. I believe I receive healing for the paralysis. I believe I receive healing for the incurable blood disease. That's what Dr. Robinson called it in talking to me about. Incurable, son, if you didn't have the heart trouble, if you didn't have the paralysis, he said this incurable blood disease alone would prove to be fatal to you. Go down the middle of the road and stay ready to go. Stay ready to go. That's what the doctor said, Dr. Robinson. Well, I tell the part sometimes that the Lord then said to me, now you believe you're well. You say, how did he say that? On the inside of me, just like he talks to you, and we call it still small voice. I said, I certainly do. I certainly do. Then he said, get up then. Well, people ought to be up 10:30 in the morning. Ordinarily, it's the case. But there's more to it than even that. We just emphasize one singular point here. After I began to say, I believe I receive healing for these different conditions. And then in case I'd missed something, I said, I believe I receive healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. But after I said that, I had an urge to praise God. Now, I'd never heard anybody praise God in my lifetime. I'd never heard anybody say hallelujah. I never heard anybody say praise the Lord. I'd never heard anybody say glory to God. I'd never heard anybody say thank you, Jesus. I never heard anybody say praise the Lord. In my lifetime, you know, you hear some prayers, most of them dead prayers in church, and they said amen at the end of it. That's all you ever heard. Amen. But I had an urge from on the inside.
Hallelujah.
To praise the Lord. Now why? Because see, the Lord knows more than I did. And he knows more than you know.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Aren't you glad?
Hallelujah.
He knew that prayer and praise goes together.
Uh-huh.
He knows that prayer is not going to be effective without praise.
Yeah.
So I began to praise the Lord. I began to say thank you, Jesus. I began to say thank the Lord. I began to say glory to God. I began to say hallelujah. I began to say glory. Amen. And I spent some time, I don't know how long, praising the Lord. Then I heard. Then the answer came. Paul and Silas prayed at midnight. They prayed and sang praises to God. The answer came while they were singing praises. Well, I wasn't singing. I'm not a singer. But I was praising him. Hallelujah. I was saying it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It just sprung up out of the inside, out of my spirit. And I praised him. How long? I don't know. I didn't time it. But then I heard on the inside of me. You see, I had the urge from within to praise. Then I heard these words. Now you believe you're well. I said, I sure do. Well, get up then. Well, people ought to be. How's a paralyzed person going to get up? But I made the effort. When I did, the power of God came down on me. And my paralysis disappeared like a snowball in a hot August sunshine. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, Acts the 13th chapter. Go to Acts the 13th chapter. Acts the 13th chapter. First three verses of Acts 13. Acts 13th chapter, first verse. Now there were in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as, mentions the names of five men, begins with Barnabas and ends with Saul. Now notice these five are either a prophet or a teacher, or a prophet and a teacher. Now from examining the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the early church, I believe Barnabas was just simply a teacher. But Paul was both a teacher and a prophet. Amen. Because he had visions and revelations. Now then, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Now, I don't know whether they refers to the church or to the five men. It says now they were in the church, doesn't it? Certain prophets and teachers. And as they, nonetheless, whether it was just them, the five, or whether it was a whole church that were ministering to the Lord. Now, how do you minister to the Lord? Through praise and worship. Hallelujah. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said.
Yes, yes, yes.
Huh?
Yes,
huh?
Yes, yes.
The Holy Ghost said. And as they ministered to the Lord and clapped.
No.
Huh? Isn't that what it said?
No.
The Holy Ghost said. No. As they ministered to the Lord. Hallelujah. And fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. See, that's the kind of atmosphere that the Holy Ghost says something in. That's the kind of atmosphere that the Holy Ghost does something in.
Yes, yes, yes.
Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And God shook that jail. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, we'll create an atmosphere, praise God, that he'll work in.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Now notice, talking about, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work when I've called them. Then they prayed and fasted and laid hands on them, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed, went on what we call their first missionary journey. But now then, go over to the 5th chapter of Ephesians in the 18th verse. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Doing what now? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He says that's to the Lord, doesn't he? To the Lord. Hallelujah. Now this isn't some songs you got out of a songbook. They didn't have any songbook back there then. They didn't have any printing presses. These, notice, in connection with being full or filled with the Spirit. In connection or as a result of being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is something the Holy Ghost gives you by the inspiration of the moment. Hallelujah. By so doing, you not only edify yourself, but you minister to the Lord. Now look at Colossians 3:16. See, we're talking about ministering to the Lord also. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. He said you're teaching and admonishing one another. If folks haven't heard it, then you're teaching them. If they have heard it, you're admonishing them. But he also says that you're ministering to the Lord.
Yes, 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 yes.
Amen, doesn't he? I said, doesn't he?
Yes.
Doesn't he? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah.
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 Glory to his holy name, both now and forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now, here is the final clincher. Why are you shouting close tonight?
Yes.
Open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Very first verse, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Well, now Jehoshaphat knows that he doesn't have sufficient army or men to meet these three armies put together. So he called a prayer meeting. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
At midnight. This is a dark hour. Amen. At midnight. Praise God. He called Judah together, the congregation, and Jehoshaphat, fifth verse, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Amen. And he went on. We got his prayer here that he prayed. Then the word of God said, notice the 14th verse now. And upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeuel, the son of Mathanias, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, don't stop there and have a shouting spell. Well, it's the Lord, and turn him over to him, because you've got something to do. You have a part to play. Now, tomorrow go ye down against them. Well, why would I have to go against him when he said the battle's the Lord's? Let's go on reading. Behold, he tells where they come. where they are. They come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruah. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle, but you still got to do something. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation. Hebrew word translated salvation, also translated deliverance. See the deliverance of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. Hallelujah. For the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now then, skip on down to the 20th verse. And they rose early in the morning. He told them. Spirit of God told them to go out against them. They rose early in the morning and went forth unto the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. In other words, what he's telling me, if you don't believe what this man prophesied, it won't work. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
It won't work. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Singers unto the Lord. And that should praise, singers, praise.
Yes.
Paul and Silas were singing praises unto God. Singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army.
Yes.
Put the praises up front. Went out before the army to say, Praise the Lord,
Hallelujah.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
Praise the Lord,
yeah.
For his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. It said they sang that. That's what they said. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. In this case, deliverance. Mercy of deliverance. But you see, Paul says over in the New Testament, writing to the church of Corinth, that he is the father of mercies. Plural, mercies. Hallelujah. Well, in this case, it was the mercy of deliverance from the enemy. Thank God for his mercy of deliverance. But then, thank God for his mercy in saving us, his mercy in forgiving us, his mercy in remitting our sins. But then, did you ever notice? Again and again in the four Gospels, when people came for healing, they asked for mercy. They asked for mercy. Did you notice that again and again and again? Thank God for his healing mercy. Thank God for his forgiving mercy. Thank God for his deliverance mercy. He's the father of mercies. Plural. Mercies. Mercies. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're sick, you might do this. Just keep singing. Praise the Lord for his mercy. His healing mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for his healing mercies endureth forever. Praise the Lord for his healing mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now then, notice the next verse. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which had come against Judah, and they were smitten. Notice again, the answer came while they were praising. The answer came while they were singing praises. It doesn't say, and they began to clap and say, the Lord's good. No, when they began to sing and to praise. Doesn't say when they began to clap, when they began to sing and to praise. Can you understand it? Can you see it?
Yes, I see it.
Let's quit clapping and go to praising.
Amen.
Glory to God. 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 Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For His mercy. 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 Praise the Lord. For His mercy. Praise the Lord. For His mercy. Praise the Lord for His mercy. Praise the Lord for His mercy. Praise the Lord for His mercy. Hallelujah.
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 Amen. Praise God. Now you may be seated. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. 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 At a time like that, things happen. People get healed without hands being laid on them. Deliverances come. The answer. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to substitute brass for gold. I want the gold, don't you? Hallelujah. Now let's look again real quickly. This 20th chapter, 2 Chronicles. And when they began to sing and to praise, the victory came again while they were singing praises. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Now you got your shouting clothes on? And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. More than they could carry away. You begin to sing praises to God, you'll get more than you can carry away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. More. More. Glory to God. Hallelujah. More. Glory to God. Can't take it all home with you. 3 days and gathered it up. Glory.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org. Or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.